Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today in New Life Church Crawley. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and we pray that as you listen to God's word with us, that you will enjoy what you hear and that it will strengthen your faith and help you to live more closely to Jesus. It's a predicament that many people face at this time of the year. It's a time where people think about New Year's resolutions. It's a new start, an opportunity to turn a page in their life, which is why so many people make New Year's resolutions. But research shows that by February, 92% of people have given up on their resolutions. They've failed. Even the most worthwhile ones and the common ones that I'm sure you recognize what they are, they'll be on screen for you. Exercise more, 38% of people. Lose weight, 33% of people. Eat more healthily, 32%. Learn a new skill or hobby, 15% of people. Now, I can't guarantee that you'll be able to keep any of those resolutions if you've made them. I've made some of those as well. I'm not going to tell you which ones. But I do want to talk to you today about the power of a positive resolution, because I believe that in making some of those resolves and those resolutions in our life, we can actually make a difference. It can be a catalyst to change. The early church leader Paul gave us a key verse that I think helps us in this regard. This is what he said: "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." When Paul came to Corinth, it looked as if he was coming from a place of defeat in Athens. He had gone in Acts chapter 17, it's recorded, where he addressed the Greek philosophers, Stoic philosophers, and it didn't seem as if he got on quite as well as he'd hoped. In fact, he was practically laughed out of the court when he spoke about Jesus' death and resurrection. See, the Greek culture liked their philosophies, they liked their debates, they liked people to come with new ideas. And often those who were most eloquent, the speakers, most persuasive, most dynamic, would win a following. And when Paul comes to this place called Corinth, where he's travelled inland, they also liked their itinerant preachers and teachers, and people who they called the spellbinders. It's people who were eloquent, people who had clever arguments. But Paul was having none of that. He said that he wasn't starting a fan club. He wasn't coming to glorify himself, that he was an ambassador for God. He wasn't a Christian salesman. So he was coming not with clever speech, but depending on God himself. And so this key verse, I think, helps us learn a couple of things that will help us in our resolve. Firstly, when Paul says, "For I resolved to know nothing among you except Christ," that implies we have a choice to make. In today's world, we have so much information at our fingertips. Maybe you're watching this on a mobile device, mobile phone, tablet, some other device. So many people have information access at our fingertips. So the average smartphone today has more technology than sent the first man to the moon. And so we must be careful what we fill our minds with, because not all of the information at our fingertips is helpful. Not all of it is useful. Not all of it needs to be shared. And so we need to pay attention to what we fill our minds with and also what we share on social media. And the writer to Hebrews gives us several warnings in the book about following Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. And one of those is in the early chapters, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And this is what he says: "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit when he chose." The writer of the Hebrews starts off with this, what is a mild rebuke, a mild warning to those who'd come from a Jewish background but were now believers in Jesus. Because of that, they got persecuted and they were tempted then to go back into their old ways, tempted to go into the old religion. And he comes and says, we must pay careful attention so that we do not drift away. That idea of careful attention is something that's quite specific, that's detailed, that's definite in its approach. The idea of drifting away has a number of images in the New Testament. First one is the idea of snow slipping off a soldier's body. You can imagine in the Roman times as they're traveling and as they conquered in various nations and they're marching, that at times they would have encountered very bad weather. And as they're marching, they're warm, they're heated up, and it snows, but the snow doesn't stick. It's also the idea of a ring slipping from a finger. How many times if you've got a little bit sweaty or done something and suddenly it's very easy for the ring to slip off the finger. But the most important idea is related to boats and water. It's the metaphor, the image of a water or a river that flows by, of being swept along by the current and by the tide. And even more detailed is the idea of a ship that's taken up its anchor and just drifting, even though there is an anchor there available to steady it and to make it secure, it's beginning to drift. And so the writer to Hebrews says we need to resolve to keep a firm grip on what we have heard. Because Jesus isn't just an angel. He goes through lots of people, characters that people from a Jewish background would know, and including angels. He says Jesus is far superior to this. In fact, he's God. He's divine. He represents God fully. And so those early Christians, even though they were facing persecution, had to receive this gentle correction that they needed to learn and be committed to obeying the word of God so that they could keep a firm grip on what they heard. Because if we don't and we begin to drift away, then the next stage, what can happen is, as the passage says, we can easily become disobedient. And disobedient in this context means an unwillingness to hear. I wonder at times in our hearts have we had an unwillingness to hear when someone brings us a correction, when someone brings us an encouragement, but it challenges us and we don't like it and we don't want to hear it. But those who are followers of Jesus Christ need to obey the word of God. The passage says, listen, if God confirmed this with signs and wonders that Jesus is who he said he was and that we should follow him, then the word of God cannot be treated lightly. And the purpose is obvious in this context. False teachers and fake news. And this is what they were experiencing. And if they weren't careful, they would drift away from the truth they'd been taught and the consequences of that. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, keep your resolve. Don't drift from the solid truth that you've been taught because of new or fanciful ideas. When I was growing up, I was about 7 or 8 years old. I didn't understand it at the time and it wasn't explained to me. But my sister drifted off into a cult. She'd been sent to Sunday school, she'd been sent to various church engagements. That's often what happened in Northern Ireland. Whole families would have done that. And so she was brought up with that historic Christian faith. But this false teacher came along and she was looking for acceptance. She was looking for relationships. She was looking for community. She was looking for something authentic. She was looking for something authoritative. And this guy came along and persuaded her on very fanciful ideas about the end times and about Jesus coming again. And it was enough of a Christian emphasis, but the teaching was completely false. And she disappeared. She disappeared out of our lives and reappeared a number of years later. Now, there's a good end to that story, but we don't have time for it today. But I remember and thinking, how could someone drift so easily? But if you go after these new revelations, these new ideas, these fanciful ideas, rather than the core truth of the Christian faith, then you will be susceptible to drifting. And then, when solid teaching comes, you're unwilling to hear. Don't do that. Don't be people who lift up the anchor. I know it can be challenging in these times. Things are unclear. But we can be confident of who God is. Don't throw away your confidence, Hebrews 10:35, because of the circumstances. So don't drift. Keep the resolve to keep anchored in solid truth. Second thing is, don't ignore the invitation of God. The same word is used by Jesus in Matthew 22:5, where he tells the story of the great banquet. It's a parable. And he says, listen, everyone's invited. That's the great news of the gospel message. Everyone has the opportunity to be included. And Jesus gives this great invitation. He tells the parable of this great invitation from the king to invite everyone. But when the servants were sent out, some were abused, some were mistreated. But most people just went about their business and ignored the invitation of the king to come and dine. They didn't respond to the opportunity that was offered to them. And I don't know where you are spiritually. Maybe you've never come to that place of faith. This is your opportunity. An invitation of the king to be in relationship with him, to know his love and acceptance and forgiveness, and to have that sense of security that is eternal. For others, it may be that the invitation from God to you is into a deeper walk with God, but you want to pay that cost. I'm encouraging you today to respond to that invitation, to seek his face. As a church, we're beginning a 21-day fast on Sunday, the 10th of January, 2021. It's a custom that we've done as a discipline personally for many years, and we encourage the church to do that. Because I want to be in that place, that right place with God, and leading people from that right place. That's my resolve. The third time this word is used, so you don't drift, is 1 Timothy 4:14. Where Paul says to his young protege, Timothy, don't neglect the gift that was given to you through the laying on of my hands. And that's my encouragement to you today as well. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift. Are you nurturing it? Are you developing it? Do you know what it is? Are you serving God? Because that is the source of growth in our Christian experience. When we're committed, when we're active, when we're serving. So I want to say to you today, don't drift from that solid truth. Don't ignore the invitation of God, and don't neglect the gift that was given to you. Lots of people are saying that our time is so short in terms of Jesus coming back. So these are important things that we respond to, that we resolve to know nothing except Christ, and that's the choice that we have to make. I want to play a short song that has a little bit of a story behind it. It's a song called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, and this is a Christian hymn that originated from northeast of India. Around 150 years ago, missionaries came from the UK and various parts of Europe to spread the gospel. And one of these Welsh missionary went with his family to northeast India, into a tribal area that was quite primitive and aggressive. In fact, they were headhunters, and the way that the men attracted their wives was by the display of heads that they had, and this showed that they could protect their wives, so they hung them on their wall, and the more heads a man had, the more eligible he was considered to be. And one Welsh Christian missionary shared the gospel, and a man and his wife and two children came to faith and believed in Jesus. But the village chief was very angry about this. And he then called the family who had faced a conversion to renounce their faith or face public execution. But moved by the Holy Spirit, the man instantly composed a song which became famous. He sang these words. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The village chief was enraged. He was furious. And he ordered some of his archers to kill his two children. And as the boys lay twitching on the floor, the chief asked again, "Will you deny your faith? You've lost both your children and you will lose your wife too." But the man sang these words in reply, "Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back." And in a moment, the wife joined her two children in death. And the chief asked him for the last time, "I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live." And in the face of death, the man sang these memorable lines. "The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back." And he was shot dead with arrows like the rest of his family. But in their deaths, a miracle took place. It really impacted the chief that he would consider, what is the faith of these people that they're willing to die for this man Jesus? And as a result, he came to faith and the whole village responded because the man and his family had resolved to follow Jesus. Let's listen to the song together and enjoy it. So we've learned That when Paul says, "For I have resolved to know nothing among you except Christ," implies that we have a choice to make. And that choice is that we don't drift, we don't ignore the invitation of God, and we don't neglect our gift. Second, final point. "For I resolved to know nothing among you except Christ," implies we have a focus to maintain. It's so easy to get distracted, whether that's on our phone or on our devices. Before you know it, an hour is gone. We've gone down a rabbit hole of maybe responding to a post or responding to a message or responding to a particular thread. Some people even spend a whole day just watching TV on the news cycle, news after news after news, and then they wonder why they're depressed. It's not a healthy environment to be in. You see, we have more options for entertainment in our modern world, but less happiness. People are anxious, people are fearful. It's one of the reasons why we're starting in a couple of weeks' time our well-being group. All the information will be on the website as of January 2021, because we know that we live in an anxious, fearful world, and we want to bring a message of hope and help into that, so you can get in contact with us, your friends can get in contact with us and be part of that group that really deals with these issues. You see, the power of focus is powerful. We see it from right around the world. Think of someone like Abraham Lincoln, who, despite failure in business, despite failure to get elected several times, went on to become one of the most famous American presidents. Walt Disney had many opportunities of failure, many times where it didn't look as if things would work. Thomas Edison, I think there was 9,000 experiments before he eventually invented the light bulb. Steve Jobs with Apple, we're all familiar with Apple and iPhones, whether we like them or not. We're familiar of his focus and his resolve to make the best products possible. We think of the focus of someone like Mother Teresa serving the poor in India. So life teaches us that the power of focus can really make a difference if we resolve to do it. And so as followers of Christ, we also have a focus to maintain. Paul writes about it in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. Be on screen for you now. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue in him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of God in the human body lives. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Paul was in an environment where there was lots of speculation, lots of philosophies, lots of itinerant preachers and teachers who were eloquent and clever. But he comes and says, "Listen, make Christ a test. It's not about insider knowledge. It's not about secrets that are somehow being revealed. It's not that everyone else has been deceived and these individuals have the knowledge that no one else has. It sounds very spiritual, sounds very religious. But the key question Paul encourages us to ask is, does it give Christ the preeminence?" There are lots of people and even religious systems that will give Christ a place of honour and respect, but not the preeminence, not the first place. So Christ is the test of the teaching, giving him the preeminent place. And as followers of Jesus Christ, that has to be our focus, making Christ the test, following him, living for him as he taught us, not speculation, not insider knowledge. Second thing he says that we have to do is draw on his fullness. There is no substitute for Christ, and all we need is in him. The fullness of God dwells in him, and if we're followers of Jesus Christ, then we live in him. We have all the resources we need, not the changing theories of man about science or philosophy or religion or politics or even medicine, though we may honour those. We have a position in Christ if we are followers of Him, and there is no substitute for that, and there's nothing that we need to lack. Everything we need is in Christ. Christ is the fullness of God, and we are in Him. So my encouragement to you is to make Him your focus. Make that resolve to keep focused on Him. So how do we keep that resolve? I think there's a couple of passages that can help us do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 to 4. Paul's writing again to this Corinthian church where he said the resolve. He said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the focus on Christ. That's what helps us keep our resolve. The second comes from the passage we read earlier, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about the need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fantastically encouraging words, encouraging us to keep our focus. So as we draw to a conclusion, what's your next step? I want to suggest, depending on what you are in your spiritual journey, one of three things. Firstly, I want to appeal to you. If you haven't already decided to follow Jesus, then you can say a simple prayer, simple as ABC, admitting your need of Him, believing that He is the Son of God, counting the cost to follow Him, and making that decision. And a simple prayer can do that. We can help you. Please get in touch with us. Our contact details will come up in a few moments' time. So firstly, I want to appeal. Secondly, I want to talk about affirmation. Maybe you once followed Jesus. Maybe you once were serving. Maybe you once were very involved in the life of a local church, but you've drifted. Maybe through hurt, maybe through disappointment, maybe through unanswered prayer, maybe through pain, all of those things. We understand we're real people facing real difficulties, exactly the same as you. But don't drift. Don't allow yourself to continue to drift away without that anchor that is eternal. Don't neglect His great salvation. Come back and affirm your faith in Him, that He is the only one that can hold you. Yes, men and leaders and myself may disappoint you, but if you put your trust and affirm Him, He is the anchor for our souls. And then the third thing is acknowledgement. Maybe for some of you listening, you need to acknowledge that you haven't been centered on Christ, that you've been centered on maybe religious activities. Maybe even the church building has become an idol for you, and it's kind of come to the fore because we haven't been able to meet in buildings in the same way. Maybe worship has become an idol for you. There's lots of things that can take Christ off the throne of our lives, and maybe you would have to honestly acknowledge that you haven't been centered on Christ Himself. It's been other things. Can I encourage you to resolve to get back to knowing nothing except Christ, to resolve to make Him the focus, not church, not worship, not preaching, none of those things, but come back and anchor yourself, humbly acknowledge that you've drifted from that center. Maybe you've even listened to teaching that has taken you off center. Come back to Christ as the center. Come back to what is of first importance. God bless you. Thank you for watching or listening. We hope it's been an encouragement to you. Please connect with us. We have lots of social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, email, Twitter. or online through our YouTube. Enjoy the rest of the time with us as we continue in worship, as Keegan and Amelia come and lead us.
Center of it all, Jesus at the center of it all, from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus at Jesus, be the center of your church.